Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello. How are you today, my favorite people? It's Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. We are here together, and if you are listening to this on time, on the day that it drops, we are here during the Thanksgiving holiday season and during the kickoff to the 2022 holiday season. And what a wild time it has been to be alive. I heard a funny thing. A comedian was saying that last year, you know, during COVID, there was all this press about how it was really, really suggested that we don't get together for Thanksgiving. And there was all sorts of comedic enjoyment of this statement because in some people's estimations, this gave people a really great excuse not to have to see their dysfunctional families, which of course are such a big part of our repressed emotions and stored trauma. And so there was this joke that I remember last year, which is like, yeah, you're really not supposed to see your family, but like, that's okay and good on you and what a great excuse it is. So I was listening to the same comedian and she was saying, all right, so looks like the CDC is saying that, you know, if people are vaccinated and especially if it's outdoors, but either way, you know, it's safe to see your family. And she was offering her condolences. So I just thought that was really funny. Because, you know, I have friends who call the day before Thanksgiving through January 2nd as hurricane season. Just time that, you know, families get together. And obviously, I am not trying to be cynical. Many, many families get together and it is absolutely joyful. And that's wonderful. And it's really wonderful. But I think also, there are many situations where people have to do a lot of deep breathing and a lot of walks in the woods and allowing themselves to sort of get through time with people that really trigger them, a lot of unresolved stuff that happened maybe when they were young. And so I just want to honor you wherever this finds you, if your story involves a joyful and happy union of people during Thanksgiving, and if your story involves you needing to run to the bathroom, close the door, and frantically journal speak in your notes app because of something that your Aunt Kathy said that you cannot fucking believe she said again. And whatever it is, and however this speaks to you, honestly, I just want to maybe lighten it up a tad and just say, I love you and I get it. And we can do this. And there are tools to express yourself in ways that don't hurt yourself or anyone else and don't require any big cleanup. Please, if you're new to my work, do click on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and check out Journal Speak and check out my whole way of living that I teach you in order to know yourself, to understand yourself, to express yourself, and to not have to carry around the way that those unfelt feelings finally do land in the body. And that has to do with unresolved trauma. It has to do with stored trauma. It has to do with the stories that we didn't understand we needed to tell. So much to be learned, and please feel free to check that out. All right. Well, before we get onto the topic today, I have a couple of exciting Black Friday deals. So now if you're listening to this on time, you're waking up to this the morning after Thanksgiving Day. And so, or if you're perhaps on the other side of the world, you are hearing this on the evening of the American Thanksgiving. And by the way, I know that I am uniquely and self-centeredly American. I'm so sorry. I know that Thanksgiving is not something that is celebrated across the globe, but probably If you haven't been living under a rock, you know what Thanksgiving is. And in America, it is a super charged up holiday. It is the only holiday that doesn't have anything, well, not the only holiday, but one of the only holidays that doesn't have anything to do with like who you are. It doesn't have anything to do with religion. It doesn't have anything to do with if you're a veteran or if you're from a certain ethnic group or, you know, it's just the American holiday. It's fraught in so many different ways in terms of the story of how it began. So I'm not going to get into that, but all I'm going to say is if you are American, you are waking up the day after Thanksgiving to this. And if you are anywhere else in the world, you're kind of maybe lucky that you didn't have to. I don't know. But what I'm saying is there's something in America called Black Friday. It is the day after Thanksgiving, and it's a time that there's a lot of good deals. It's supposed to be the kickoff of the holiday shopping season. And so today I am going to do my little bit to participate in that in two different ways. So the first way is if you ever have listened to this podcast in the past, you probably have heard me talk about the Curable app. And I love the Curable app for so many reasons. I love the people that founded it. They're such good people. They're so interested in helping spread this message of chronic pain recovery. And their app is also fantastic. And so, you know, as I often mention, I am one person. I'm doing my damnedest to constantly carry this message. But the Curable app is an app that you can have in your hand on your phone. And, you know, it's not just information. It's guided meditations. It's science-backed techniques designed to help you overcome your fear of movement, your fear of symptoms, your fear of never getting better, like amazing stuff that's so important to me that is taught. It offers actionable strategies that help you retrain your brain's response to pain. So important. And another thing that's great about Curable is they do so much good teaching about the brain science and about the brain and the nervous system, stuff I'm always talking about that helps you understand where the pain is coming from and how you can use your own techniques that you learn through them, through me, to transform it. This is not about banishing any one part of ourselves. This is about transforming the way the brain and the nervous system respond to our emotional world and to the trauma that gets triggered from our day-to-day life. So more than 500 people around the world are using Curable right now for relief from their chronic symptoms. And so Curable has a Black Friday deal. They're offering 60% off a year's subscription. And the URL you use to get to that is www.getcurable.com. curable.com/Nicole, NICOLE. And so that's their Black Friday deal. And so please take advantage of that if you want to try the Curable app 60% off for the first year. My Black Friday deal that I'm offering to you guys from my heart is I have done several virtual weekend retreats. I've done them throughout COVID. They are wildly successful in terms of what people feel from the beginning to the end of the weekend. It is, I say this with such absolute certainty and passion because now I've done, I think, three or four of them. You aren't the same person at the end of the weekend as you are when you started. And because it's virtual, you can do it from anywhere, hopefully almost anywhere in the world. I know that I can't provide for all time zones, but here's the way it works. On Friday night, you have an evening, an intimate evening alone with me from 5:30, 7 p.m. Eastern. If that doesn't work with your time zone, that is recorded. Friday night is recorded. Saturday and Sunday, it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time. Those are too long to record. So if it doesn't work for your time zone to have that block of time, I'm sorry, but I'm doing my best in terms of what I can offer. But it's May 13th through the 15th. Now here's the deal though. Normally the retreat includes my Freedom from Chronic Pain course, which is a $295 value, and my four guided meditations that are original, my original meditations, which is a $50 value. Usually the retreat is $450, but for Black Friday, so from now at this moment that you're hearing this until Sunday, it is November 28th at noon. So you have 2 days, 2.5 days to take advantage of it. it's $100 off the retreat. So essentially the retreat ends up being free once you have the value of the course and the meditations that you get. And so essentially it's a $350 investment. You get the retreat, you get the 4 original meditations, and you get my Freedom from Chronic Pain course. So if you're new to this work, it's an incredible way to kick it off. You get the course and the meditations right away. If you're not new to this work and you already have taken the course and or own the meditations, you can use them as holiday gifts. So this is just, I wanted to make something really generous. I know how many people are struggling with money. This is a way for you to get an incredible bang for your buck. So if you're interested in taking advantage of this, go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Click either on the retreats tab or the resources tab. It's linked to both. If you're following me on Instagram at Nicole Sachs LCSW, it's also in the link in my Instagram bio if you're an Insta person. So do take advantage of this. It's an incredible weekend. Lisa Schlossberg will be there. Caroline Dewey will be there, and also potentially other special guests. And I'm going to rock your world, man. I'm promising you this, my hand on my heart. I will rock your world that weekend. I will change your life because I know how this work works. And I also create community. So you will leave with a community of people that are going through this with you. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's incredible. Okay. So those are my announcements for today. Happy Thanksgiving, peoples. We're doing it, right? We're doing this. We're doing the lifey life. We're living it one day at a time, left foot, right foot, breathe. It's not sucking us into the core of the earth. We're getting up every day and we're doing this together, you and me. So hang in there. Hang in there. We're doing it. So today I want to talk about the traumatic effects of anger and probably why we are so uncomfortable generally as a society with the expression of anger, because it is considered so unhinged, so unkind to be angry. And so we're going to get all into this, how we are able to experience our anger and why anger is so toxic to us. So the way this conversation began for me in my mind that I wanted to share this on the podcast is I was speaking to someone this week and she was recounting to me an experience she had in couples therapy. So she has a wonderful marriage. They are committed to deepening and enriching the relationship, and they have a young daughter who is, I think, 4 years old at this point, 3 or 4. And it's hard, you know, it's hard being in a relationship. It's hard being in a relationship with a young child. It's hard being two human beings walking this planet. And so they decided as a tool to expand their depth of understanding one another and themselves to enter into couples therapy. So she was telling me about something that had been kind of brewing for months and maybe even years between them when it came to anger and how it went in couples therapy. So I'm going to do my best to explain it, because I think if I explain it properly, it will really serve as a great example of what I'm trying to say. So my friend, let's call her Mary. Mary grew up in an incredibly volatile family, sort of similar to me, but hers was worse because it involved a lot of addiction and it involved a lot of mental health issues. And so Mary grew up really never knowing when the other shoe was going to drop. And a lot of that had to do with an expression of rage. I believe it was generally her father. It also could have been her mother. It also could have been her siblings, because there was a tremendous amount of addiction going on with her siblings, and she's the youngest. So she's the baby trying to make sense of this all. But what she experienced was a tremendous amount of nervous system shaking rage that would come out of nowhere. And so somebody screaming or something that was really chaotic could kind of come from nowhere. And so the way her nervous system was built, the way her fight, flight, or freeze was triggered, was enacted and was ingrained in her human experience and in the way that her brain and her nervous system functions from a very young age. And I need you to know that this is happening for all of us. So, you know, we are built upon our genetics. We're built upon our nurture. that we received and were built upon the way that our nervous system was required to react with early formative experiences. And for Mary, it was intense. It was intense. And she got wired to react incredibly strongly to somebody's yelling or derision or anger or rage. It made her shut down completely. And I relate to this quite a bit, and I'm sure many of you out there do. And so the way Mary responds when somebody acts that way, especially when it's unexpected, is to become incredibly fawning, to try to make the situation better, to try to placate the person. But as she's gotten healthier and as she's done a lot of work on herself, she knows that that's not healthy for her. So one of the ways that she sort of can't help but respond is that she goes into her shell. She shells up. She goes deep into the turtle shell and she tries to protect herself. And maybe she doesn't let herself fawn to the extent that she used to, which is an extreme form of people pleasing. If fawning is something new to you, because I know sometimes it is, go on my website and click on the retreat recordings under retreats. I have a whole fawning retreat that you can partake in, that you can understand exactly what fawning is. But anyway, so she was trying not to fawn, but no matter what she can't help, which is a reflexive reaction in her, is that she goes deep into the turtle shell when someone acts like that. So the interesting dynamic in Mary's marriage is that her husband isn't a jerk. Like, he's not a person who can't understand her responses. He's a person who cares about her upbringing, but he's got issues of his own. And this is the thing about human relationships and why we're so difficult to relate to one another is that, like, even if you're a really good person, even if you have deep and actual love for the people around you, sometimes you are I hate to use the word victim, but the word just works here, a victim of your own circumstances, your own upbringing. Now, I don't know a lot about him intimately in terms of exactly how he grew up. I know Mary much better, but I do know that he grew up in a situation where yelling and anger was also part of the experience. And I know he is comfortable expressing himself with yelling and anger, and he doesn't see it as sending a message of I don't love you, and he doesn't see it as sending a message of I'm done with you and I'm leaving you. He just sees it as a way he feels comfortable expressing himself. So we've got one person in the relationship who feels sort of unfazed by anger being a source of communication, and another person in the relationship who feels that when someone yells or screams or reacts unexpectedly to her, she goes right to a very dark place of I'm being abandoned, I'm being left, I'm not loved, and also her nervous system goes into this turtle shell shutdown. So these are these two people. And so as the couple's therapy went on and as they became more comfortable with their therapist, who they both respect, Mary this past week was able to express in this couple's therapy safe space that when, let's call him Sam, when Sam reacts with anger, she was saying, I don't think you understand how long it takes me to get past that. I don't think you quite understand that it can be weeks after an outburst and I'm still not okay. And he really didn't know this about her because, see, we're all so, you know, kind of benignly self-centered in certain ways where we just assume that the world is reacting to us the way we might react to the world. And that's just not true. And that's why I love a healthy couples therapy dynamic, because if we can safely bring these kind of conversations up in couples therapy, we can find a way to really express ourselves to our partners. And then, of course, grow as people in relational sense. And this doesn't mean that everybody out there needs to be in couples therapy for this. This is the reason why I'm bringing it to the podcast. I asked her permission after she shared this with me because I want everybody to know about this level of communication and self-expression, because this doesn't necessarily need to be in the space of a couples therapy session. So what she was able to say, what Mary was able to say to Sam was, I need you to know something about me because I love you and I care about you and I care about our precious little family, which is when you yell at me because you're frustrated in the moment, because you're stressed out about work or pressure in your own life or your family dynamics or money or whatever it is that's getting you going, and you respond to me in sort of a explosive way, whatever that is, I can't get out of the reaction that I have for a long time. And I might not even always look like it. It might look like I'm kind of carrying on normally, but like I'm not. And it affects my ability to be intimate with you, and it affects my ability to relate and to connect with you. And like, I need you to know what's going on under here. This is me. I need you to see me. And wow, what was wonderful about Sam in that moment is he was like, I see you. Okay. I hear you. And what Mary said to him is, you need to understand, and I'm not trying to be difficult here or immovable or intractable. This has got to be like a zero tolerance policy. You can't yell at me like that. You can tell me how you feel. You can walk away and count to 10 and come back to me and say things that you need to express to me, but you can't scream at me because I can't take it. And I'm not okay. And I will shut down, and it will erode our relationship. And good on her for being able to say that, and good on him for being able to hear it. And like, this is the thing that I want to say to you about communication and about human relationships and about the way we metabolize anger. If you are a person who grew up with that kind of unexpected rageaholic person in your life, no matter who they were, and if you felt powerless to get out from under that situation, which I know I certainly did in my house with my dad, the effects on it can be lifelong. And that doesn't mean a bad thing. This doesn't mean like, oh, woe is you. You know, you're destitute forever in terms of being able to help yourself. No, no, no. This means that you just need to get yourself. This is what my whole Instagram page is about. This is about me helping you see what you are, who you are, and how you are formed, so you have the tools you need to operate as an adult person who has autonomy and who has agency and who's able to express yourself in this life, and especially with people who you love and who love you. And so, you know, understand that things happen to us as kids that are encoded deeply in our experience. And yes, our brain can absolutely be rewired to a great extent, to a great extent. And that's about creating, which I talk about all the time, creating an observational self, creating a pause between our reaction and our response, creating an ability to be the witness and to observe ourselves. That's the way we change our brains. But that's like high level shit. And that takes a minute before, you know, we get to that point. And even when we're at that point, we might still have a first reaction, but we'll be able to pause and take stock and observe ourselves and respond. But, you know, part of the road to that, part of the road to getting that kind of empowerment is expressing ourselves and is knowing why we react to things the way we do. So, you know, this doesn't always have to be about anger for you. You know, look inside. Is this about somebody icing you out and giving you the silent treatment, and then seeing maybe your partner or a friend or a loved one do that to you now and how you respond? Or is this about somebody silencing you, shutting you down, not giving you a voice, not giving you a place to speak? Maybe that's the place where you have this sort of visceral reaction. For Mary, it was being yelled at. For me, it is being yelled at. I got to tell you, I am I'm a person who does a lot of work on myself. Let's just say that. I not only do a lot of work on myself personally, but I do this as a job. I do this as a calling, as a career, whatever you want to call it. So I'm constantly thinking about this stuff. And still, I had a conversation with someone who I love, and they were so unkind to me. And this was probably, I don't know, almost a year ago. And the way I respond when someone's really screaming at me, yelling at me, is I shut down completely. I still, during the time that it's actually happening, I can't not. So I just let them just sort of really have their way with me, because I can't respond. And I also don't, I have such a visceral and such a sad and scared reaction to somebody's unbridled anger, which was about the person. It wasn't about me in that moment, but it doesn't matter, that I can't respond because I also don't want to perpetuate the argument. I don't want to make it longer and worse. But I took it. for a long time, for like a 45-minute phone call. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I still relive it. I relive it. When I think about this person, I relive it. And so what I'm saying is, like, be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with yourself if you can't just let things go wholly. I have let it go in many, many ways. I don't feel anger toward this person. I don't feel the need to say my side of the story. Like, it's okay. We all have our stuff, you know? I mean, we're all just human. But I do have that little girl visceral reaction that happens, and I have compassion for myself. I wrap myself in compassion when that happens, because I can see that I'm also just like an 8-year-old kid sitting on the top of the stairs listening to my dad scream at my mom and being like, what the heck? Why do people treat each other that way? You know, and knowing that eventually it was going to be turned on me, and not knowing when that was going to happen. And that is where we are. We are built. We are built in those moments, but it's okay because we're all the same. Every single one of you out there can think of a time you were built in one of those moments, whether it's any of the examples that I've given thus far. And it's just, here we are. You know, one of my favorite little signs that I saw on the wall during grad school, I was in a lecture and I looked over at the wall and there was this poster and it said, every single thing that happened to you up until this moment is not your fault. But from this moment on, it is your responsibility to deal with how it lands in you. I'm quoting that completely wrong, but it was something that meant that. And I was like, okay, I hear that. I can hear that. Like, this is my stuff. Here's my basket. You know, put it in front of me. Put it in front of me. My parents' money problems, moving constantly, my parents' divorce, my father's alcoholism and rage, the fact that I didn't have a sibling, so I felt like I went through it all alone, and on and on and on. Here's my basket. There it is. It's not going to change. It's what happened. What am I going to do with it now? How do I want to live? Do I want to feel empowered? Yes, yes, I do. Okay, then what? Then what? Then what? And, you know, this is what? This is what we're doing. We're talking. So Mary was able to express this. Sam was able to hear it. And boy, did she feel so much better, because she felt safe. And she felt like, she knows Sam isn't perfect. And, you know, he's also got his stuff. He's got his lifetime of, he's got his basket. He's got his basket. So there are going to be times where Sam responds and reacts to Mary. There are going to be times. But she knows that she's had this conversation, so she can turn to him and say, I hear that you are really yelling right now. I'm going to need to step out, because remember, we talked about this. I don't get past this easily. I can't actually continue to stay in this conversation. And hopefully in the moment, Sam will be able to be like, oh, wow, I got to take a pause. I got to step out, you know, because we're not perfect. So the best we can do is keep having these conversations and treat each other with compassion and treat ourselves with compassion. So I guess the reason for this podcast is severalfold. The first is that I want you to take a look at yourself and to understand, what are your triggers? What are your things? Where does your little kid just fall into themselves in terms of, like, kind of like fold in and turtle up when certain people are doing certain things? And is there a space in your life where that can be communicated safely, whether in a therapy office or in an intimate conversation or through a letter or an email that you write them? If that's possible, you might want to consider that, because, you know, communication really matters. It really helps. It is such a salve on relationships. Now, maybe you're sitting there and going, nope, nope, Nicole, no way. This person will never hear it. And I'm not in the position to step away from this relationship right now. And then I say, okay, okay, I get it. Bring it to your journal, speak. Tell the truth. Speak in your journal, speak the way you would speak in a therapy session. And allow that inner child to be held and to be loved by you. It matters. This is not fluffy talk. This is not, oh, isn't that, wouldn't that be so sweet? This is like, this helps rewire your brain to allow your inner child to have a voice. If you're confused about the inner child work, I also have an inner child retreat. Go to my website, click on the retreat recordings, watch the inner child retreat. These are ways you can start helping yourself. If the other person isn't willing to engage in the conversation with you, it doesn't mean you are lost. I have had this particular conversation that I'm recounting, that I had, this beating I took from this person. This person is not someone who I can speak to. they're not safe and they're not willing, as far as I know. And so I have done the work myself. I have done it all through my journal speak, and I feel totally at peace because my sweet little girl, who was screamed at as a child when she did not deserve it, experienced that when this person was screaming at me and I didn't deserve it, and I stood up for her in my journal speak. I wrote the letter I will never send to this person, and I am at peace. And I'm telling you this, I am at peace with this situation, and you can be too. So this is not just if you're Mary and Sam, and good on Mary and Sam, good for them, because what I want for them and for their daughter and for their life is for them to have an upward trajectory of communication where they can continue to expand and to celebrate one another and to not get caught up in the petty bullshit of life that so many of us must, and I'm sure they have in the past, but you know, we're all just doing our best. And so, you know, good for them and good for anyone who can actually communicate, and good for me and for you in the places that we can. But when you can't, there's also a solution. Because really, in the end, our inner children are the ones who are suffering. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day because Charlotte, who is 13, my littlest, she has braces and she hates her braces. Oh my God, the amount of time we have talked about, she doesn't like how she looks. She doesn't like how they feel. She thinks they're so embarrassing. They're so cringy. She hates the braces. She hates everything about the braces, okay? There have even been times she's cried about the braces. And I'm going to say this in the nicest possible way. I feel nothing. I feel nothing. I am not triggered slightly. She needs the goddamn braces. Her teeth look amazing. They were not okay, and now they're great. She's going to get them off in a few months. Cry me a river. You need to have braces. Like, I'm nice to her. I'm loving to her. You know, I give her a lot of tenderness when she's not up happy with them. But like, I don't go to sleep at night and writhe around with my stomach turning because of her braces. I think, yeah, I know. I get it. It sucks. We got to do it. And so turn the page and move on. So understand, I'm not shutting down her feelings because this is important for the example, but I am not personally upset, even though she is personally upset. Now, take this other example. She'll have a situation where her friends are leaving her out. They're not being nice to her. And she is acting too cool for school about it. She'll be like, oh, whatever, I don't care. So she's not acting upset. She may be upset. She may not be upset. But if she is upset, she's certainly not willing to be upset about it. That's her defense mechanism. She's a kid. You know, she's in middle school. She's doing her best to get through it. So let's say she's not invited to something or somebody's not being nice to her. There are times where we'll upset her, but there are also times that she will act like, you know, it's fine. It's cool. And honestly, it's possible that it is cool to her. Me, on the other hand, oh my God, forget about it. In the most like embarrassing way, I will obsess on it. I will think about it all day. I will wait to see if the kid is going to turn around and be nice to her or invite her. Like, dude, I am being honest with you. And we talk about this all the time. And I know I admit this. I admit this. I admit everything because like, why not? But do you understand that it's my inner child who's suffering? We can say until we're blue in the face that our kids are, you know, when our kids suffer, we suffer. And, you know, a parent is only as happy as their saddest child, which I hate that expression, but people say it. And I know it to be true sometimes, okay? But it's not really our saddest child. It's our experience of our trigger of our perception of our saddest child, because I will promise you that Charlotte would claim that her braces are making her much more sad than a couple parties she wasn't invited to. But I will, you know, have a mental breakdown at 3 a.m. over a party she wasn't invited to. And the braces mean nothing to me because it's like, whatever, she's getting them off soon. So you understand, I just want you to get it that like, our inner children and our experiences of our pain and suffering as young people when we were being built and encoded is everything. And so if you're having a situation where you are struggling with something, you very well may indeed be able to fix the whole situation on your own in your journal speak practice and, you know, engaging with your trusted circle and whomever you love and trust, a friend, a partner, a loved one, a colleague, who, you know, if you don't have anyone, just please come to my retreats. I promise you, I'll find you your people, and like connect and not have to solve it with that other person. So there's two kind of messages here. Three. The first message is know thyself, my love. Please make the effort. And that's why I'm always, every day on Instagram, I put up another post about helping you know yourself. So please go over there at Nicole Sachs LCSW and take care of yourself there. Know thyself, listen to these podcasts, do your journal speak, inquire, go to my Facebook page, Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs LCSW, join our private group and talk to other people going through this. Know yourself. That's the first thing. That's the first message here. The second message here is, communicate if you can. Be the Mary to your Sam. See if you can, with a person who might be compassionate, say, hey, can I share with you what it's like to be me? Would you mind? Would it be okay if I could tell you what's really happening for me when we interact like that? Because it's maybe not what you think. Because I don't think Sam knew that Mary for 2 weeks would be in a turtle shell after one yelling argument. He probably was like, whatever. He probably handled it the way I handle Charlotte's braces, which is it doesn't bother me. And so it's okay. Like, I'm sorry it's upsetting you, but it's not the end of the world. But for Mary, it's the end of the world because she grew up in such chaos. And so, you know, if you can communicate, if you can say, this is what it's like to be me, can I please gently, without blaming you, tell you what happens to me when we interact like that? So that's another message in this podcast. And the third is, if the person is not accessible to you, which is totally reasonable and happens all the time, you can do this for yourself in your journal speak practice. You can practice self-compassion. Once again, I have another retreat on self-compassion. They're all available on my website. Like, these are things that you can do for yourself. I love this podcast. I love being able to talk to you. You know, the reason I'm always referring you off to all the other things I do is because there's only so much I can do in one podcast or in a million podcasts to help you get it, and to help you connect with those little soft, small places inside that are really just desperate for connection and to be heard and to be seen and to be loved and to be cherished. Another thing I want to really recommend to you that just really had a big impact on me today, especially if you're listening to this right now on time, is I love the podcast On Being with Krista Tippett, available anywhere you get your podcasts for free. And there is a conversation with Elizabeth Gilbert. I reference Elizabeth Gilbert a lot in my work. The way she speaks to fear is one of the big ways I teach how to speak to fear, always explaining that I heard it first from her. And she does a beautiful job in this podcast. It's the most recent one, I think. It's a conversation between her and another gentleman who's a meditation teacher, and they're just talking about life, and it is just so healing. And the reason I'm saying that is because it just is something that brought me great comfort this week, and like another way that you can kind of see thyself, see the reason that working with our little selves inside can be so healing. So I do recommend that podcast this week, On Being with Krista Tippett. Something I hope to be interviewed on one day, just throwing that out into the universe, because this is the kind of stuff I'm always wanting to just talk about and share and bring to as many people as possible. Okay. Well, listen, have a happy holiday season. We're entering into it. Wherever you are on the planet, likely you celebrate something in the next several weeks. And so, you know, try to stay close to you. Try to remember who you are. Try to be kind and gentle as much as you can with yourself and others, because it always feels better when it goes that way. And remember that if you want to begin a new journey for yourself with the Curable app, it is 60% off for the Black Friday deal. That is www.getcurable.com/Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. And if you want to take advantage of $100 off my virtual Freedom from Chronic Pain retreat weekend, which is May 13th through the 15th. Sign up now before Sunday, November 28th at noon, and you will get $100 off that retreat, which includes my Freedom from Chronic Pain course and my 4 original meditations. If you already have them, you can gift them to someone as a beautiful holiday gift, or it's an amazing holiday gift for yourself. So take advantage of those things. I send you huge love and compassion and kindness and gentleness from me to you. And until next week, this has been the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs, and I will see you then. Bye-bye.